This is the beginning of the visit with Suzanne Jim. This Saturday morning, the 13th of February, 1971, Valentine weekend, middle of February, Channel 1 Right, beginning of a new reel. This Saturday morning, the 13th of February, 1971, beginning a visit with Jim and Suzanne. This Saturday morning, beginning of 13th of February, 1971, the visit with Jim and Suzanne.
It's the key. And then I thought, well, maybe I better make another copy while I'm at it. And the original does better than the others. Just okay. Make a copy. But that, you kept telling me about that little tent revival. That has things. And that preacher is gifted.
Oh, he is
gifted. I knew that at the time. But that little test fine he did himself.
Yeah.
Oh, he just put them to shame. I never heard such test fine in my life. I never heard much. But I never heard anything like that. Why, he done things. He had his own band.
Yeah. Well, actually, he had the electric guitar that he was playing the hymns with. That was the only music.
Well, he kept both everything going. When they were testifying, he kept it going with Hallelujah, Praise the Lord. He kept it all going, you know. And then when they were singing, he kept it going. And he's gifted. He's a performer. I didn't realize that. And then at the end, he has the healing.
Oh, yeah. And invitation.
Yeah.
I don't know if I put the invitation in, but that goes on. You know, they sing verse after verse after verse. And, you know, and I just knew, because he asked Pat and I, he says, have you been saved? You know, not yes, and he was waiting for us to do something, I think. Cause he,
that's fine.
He made a beeline over to us as soon as the thing was over. You know?
Yeah, oh, did he?
But everybody, you know, he says, well, every eye closed, every heart praying, you know, and you know, if just raise your hand or something like that, or if you don't want to come to the front.
Now that wasn't just last year, was it? Last February.
Last year before last, I guess. Wait, what do you think?
It's February something.
That's before we're married.
No, we're married because you know Pat used to come. I guess it was last year.
Yeah.
It does. It seemed like about 2 years ago for some reason.
Yeah. So much has happened since then. And I listened to Walt's lecture, and I hadn't paid much attention to it before, but it's short. He handles it with a good deal of reserve. I thought I was right impressed with his handling of it. He didn't try to make too much of anything. Now, I didn't go through the discussion. I mean, I didn't listen to it.
It's been so long since I heard his, you know, the talk.
Well, he thinks of Ishmael of Melville as a prophet. And he picks it up from one of his other books, and he takes that. I don't know why they have to take that transcendental thing, where they can go objects, and he has that little scene on the objects also allow a glimpse of the divine, and he has the, and that what I think of as a Byronic scene, Charlie Harrell. The boy up on the masthead sees the ocean sway, and then he glimpses other things too. And it's in it. I haven't used it. I can't see. But it's such a fragile little passage. I would make. I don't think it's. Well, it's not mine. It's his lecture, not mine. But he makes so much more of experience, you know, and that's what happens in the the graduate professors. They pick up that transcendental idea and try to wrestle with it. It's too big for them. I mean, you can't handle it. Nobody can handle it. They pick it up from Kant, and they don't know Kant from a hole in the ground. they take the so-called transcendentalist in a direction they didn't actually go in. You see, you don't have any of that in the followers. It's all experience. But you don't, you see, that diverts even the big ones from it. Well, he was right modest. As if it served his purpose, he let it rest.
A guy got so interested in this, and we both of us did.
What, in the talk?
Well, in the whole tape.
Yeah.
He'd walk in, he'd think, he really is gifted. And I'd be busy out here, and I'd come back, you know, I could listen all over the house. It's just beautiful, the whole, and it fits. Right, even where he's getting up money for his truck.
Yeah. You just think if he'd go hire out somewhere, he'd make a little more money.
Just got 14.
He had a wife and two little kids too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Were they there?
Mhm. Kids too. And the wife just, you know, kind of sat back, but after. The end, if she came up, you know, during the healing, and she'd kneel and pray with the other people. The children, you know, sat and stayed back there. But she looked, you know, he looked so young to be doing that, and yet, I guess, what was he, 26? I think I figured out. Pat thought he was a fake. She didn't like him at all. She thought the whole thing was just a big fake.
Yeah.
And that he was, you know, probably just doing it for the money or something else. And I thought, the collection didn't come to more than about $3. I said, he's not doing it for the money.
But she wasn't sympathetic at all.
No. She
not at all.
Not with the people and not with him. Especially not with him. She says, if he says hallelujah one more time, I'm going to scream.
Oh, really? Now, she didn't project at all, did she?
Beg your pardon?
She didn't project at all.
Well, I think she's kind of raised in the Methodist church, and I don't think they do quite as much amens and hallelujahs. And it does, if you've never heard it before, it does kind of, you know, kind of strike your ears. It's funny. You know, it's just like something that shouldn't be there. In a lot of churches, because they never do it. But in the Baptist church, of course, they do it.
Yeah.
And I even heard one time in a Presbyterian church somebody say amen. You know, you just see the whole congregation just kind of jump. The minister got up, he was standing up, he heard it too, and he says, well, hallelujah.
He had to do something.
But she wouldn't go along with him at all?
No. And she didn't like him because he's too loud. She thought he was, you know, because he'd come on pretty strong. I mean, you know, he had a strong voice. And,
yeah.
And he wasn't holding back, and this irritated her too.
Yeah. Is that right? Well, what you ought to do is report on Pat's Fat perception of this tent revival.
That's right.
Well, that was probably pretty painful to her then if she couldn't project.
Well, she liked taking pictures.
That was,
and she'd go along, she'd sing this hymn some, but she wouldn't clap or anything.
Well, I never saw any of those pictures.
Oh, that's right, we never got them out here. She didn't take too. She took a lot, she didn't like them very much, except for a few.
Yeah. Well, now what's happened to Pat?
Last I heard, she was going out and she bought a Volkswagen bus and was taking off to California. Didn't know whether she was going to be back or not.
Is that right?
She had about a quarter left to go to get her degree, and she wasn't sure what she wanted or not. She's going to take off.
Well?
Her aunt left her $17,000. She bought a Volkswagen bus and a telephoto lens and a suitcase full of film and took off. She may be back, but she went to California. I kind of doubt it.
Yeah. She ain't going to sit back and talk about what she does when she retires.
She's funny. She said before Aunt gave her the money that she used to, you know, she had all her clothes, you know, how you cook. Girls just collect clothes, you know, from the time they're high school. And if they don't have enough money, they just keep them, you know, and keep on wearing. She said when she got that money, she got rid of every one of those old dresses that her mother had helped her pick out. And she got herself a whole new wardrobe.
What a girl. But what a girl.
Well, she went, you know, and actually she didn't go hog wild on the money business because she just got the Volkswagen bus.
Yeah.
So she could, you know, camp in it and all. And the clothes, which is natural. And the stuff for our camera.
In other words, you'd have done the same.
We'd have done more than that, I'm afraid. But she was, she had a real neat apartment. She lived with two other girls. It was in a real old house. And one of the rooms had a fireplace in it. She had dozens of records. And she had one that some man had taped of field hands, Negro field hands singing and Negro churches and all. And we used to listen to that. She liked it real well, and it was like the music they sing over here at the AME church.
I've got some right here. I taped it from the Sunday morning television.
But and
it's a little better than they do over here.
Yeah, well, they were doing it.
But
same
thing.
It was men, the one on this record, most of it, and then there were some spirituals. But these were a lot of the field songs while they were working.
Yeah.
More men than women in it.
Yeah. Well, now that singing yesterday, his singing, I kind of forget. Oh, they did a good bit of singing.
Oh, yeah.
They had a song service, as they call it. They had all sorts of services. Well, Lord help us. Lord help us. You couldn't get that much free money anywhere, could you?
Not that much singing. Too much. The whole, except for the sermon, it was almost all singing. And then the testimonies. They let people.
Yeah, that's what I kept thinking, but it doesn't work out that way. Except for the sermon, except for the testifying, you had it all. You had a whole lot of everything.
Yeah.
And you know how long your tape lasts?
It's more than an hour, I think.
More than an hour. You've got an hour, down there on the tape, an hour and three quarters.
I know, is that long?
You've got that much tape. You almost have two sides. 700 on the other side.
Well, his when he got in the sermon, of course, his testimony was...
Well, I have no idea why it would stop.
Huh?
Why in the world would it stop? It had just stopped. You heard it. What was that about the tent?
Oh, I just said it looked like a circus tent. Just that big, you know, that heavy yellow canvas, only not as big.
How big was it? Bigger than his house?
Oh, I think it was Yeah, it's almost. Well, no, I wouldn't say it's as wide as this house, but it was as long. It was pretty big. It looked kind of small from outside, but once you got inside, you realized it was pretty good size. Of course, it wasn't full. There was only about, maybe 30, 40 people there, I guess.
Oh, that small of a crowd.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there weren't very many. Not
yeah.
very many at all.
What time was it? Afternoon?
No, it was about 7 o'clock.
At
no,
supper?
Yeah. What? We got there early and there weren't any lights. Well, we didn't see any lights, so we went on in. And there was a young man, not the preacher, there. Left, and what they do, some of the people didn't have rides, so they go and pick them up.
Oh, they go bring them in.
Yeah. People didn't have the rides.
Now, was this a certain denomination?
Oh, yeah.
No. What do you call it? I'm sure. The main preacher wasn't there. The man whose name the revival was after. This young man was sort of a substitute.
Oh.
And it was just a...
You mean he
full gospel. That's what he called it. Full gospel revival. See, they didn't have the main preacher there that night. He was... I don't know where he was, but... He wasn't along. So this younger man was just kind of like this assistant.
Oh, so he was just feeling his oats, as it was.
I guess so.
Well, the head man was out trying to get the
probably getting, getting money for the trucks. But I think they'd been there quite a while. I'd seen him there quite a while, at least a week, maybe longer.
Yeah.
They usually don't stay more than a week, but because their truck was broken down, that's why they were still there. So there weren't too many people.
Yeah.
So he was the one that moved on, the one that made this record. He left.
Yeah. Well, the whole thing is they packed up their truck and left. They had a couple of trailers, house trailers, I guess, where they lived.
Oh, did they?
So all together, I guess there was the young man and his wife and kids, and then another young man, and then the preacher who was gone. Just, going around together. They're from up north somewhere.
Oh, where are they?
Ohio. Well, I don't. He may have mentioned it in there, where he's from.
Oh, I didn't pay that much attention.
Sure.
I just figured he's from around here.
No, it's somewhere further up north. But he, this is the night, and started, I guess, about 7:30, and then lasted till about 9, so 9:30. So
your figures, it's an hour and three quarters from 7:30, it doesn't leave 9:30, does it?
Yeah.
Well, it does. 2 hours. You line them 2 hours.
Yeah. Well, I turned it off after a while. I mean, when he got through and everybody started leaving, and he was just talking to us.
Well, why don't you leave it on?
You don't want to.
Well.
You had another 15 minutes
of tape.
Now, you've seen these tents before?
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Well, I got into that sort of thing in New Orleans. I started listening to Billy Graham on the radio, on the TV. And then the preacher, the church, I visited a Baptist church a couple of times in New Orleans. It's pretty much the same program. They do a lot of singing and then some testimony and a sermon and then an invitation. But of course, they do it all in an hour in the regular service.
Yeah.
Of course, the ones I went to were in the evening. That's kind of informal.
And they didn't have to quit in an hour.
No, sometimes it went longer.
But I've not seen these tents.
Yeah. I see him in Coco. I used to see him in Louisiana a lot.
Now, in other words, the only place you'll see him is out on Waller Road? That's the Veterans?
Well, that's the best place. You see, I imagine they can get that pretty cheap, and it's plenty of area.
Yeah.
And I haven't driven around that much to, search out where any others are, but that's just kind of the,
yeah.
It's on the road into town.
Well, where would you, I'm not going to look for any, but I suppose you did. Wouldn't somebody know, wouldn't they register or get a permit or something from somebody?
I would suppose they have to get a permit.
They have to put the tent up
or something. Yeah. That, I guess, the place that has the land, the VFW, or Veterans of Foreign Wars, they own it, I think. You check with them or check with the Chamber of Commerce, I guess.
Yeah.
Where they... But see, I don't think any of them are particularly affiliated with any church, so any...
Yeah.
People who come, I don't know how they get people out there unless people just happen to run across it, because I don't know if they advertise in the churches.
Oh, that's right.
That's what that one man got so hot under the collar about, was that there weren't more people out there from the churches.
Yeah.
He said they ought to be there.
Yeah.
Out there at the meeting?
Yeah. He that the man who talked so long, he said that's one thing he got mad about, because there weren't more people out there. He said those people ought to be here.
Yeah.
From the churches, they ought to be out here too.
All the churches.
Yeah.
I guess he thought the ministers in town didn't encourage it.
That's the kind of impression I got. Or at least they... I don't think I've never heard a minister, talk about a revival that's going on, unless it's in their own church.
Now, you don't think of him as akin to Old Tarwater?
No. Kind of, in a way, just that. I just kind of associate that, the kind of freelance preaching with Old Tarwater. But I don't think Tarwater would have, I don't think he held revivals or anything.
He wasn't even a preacher, was he?
No, he's a prophet, but...
And thought of that, he didn't even preach.
The only time you ever see him preach is when he's standing out in front of his sister's house and telling her she's going to go to hell.
Yeah, he prophesied that. Yeah, bringing down the wrath on her.
That the young man would have been, I think, not quite as, I'd say a little more understanding, say Tarwater. Tarwater's, he doesn't.
What'd you tell your children?
I didn't. It didn't even dawn on me. Tarwater doesn't take excuses. There's just no excuses with him. Whereas this man would, he'd be willing to work with you a while for you. Give you up for lost.
What do you think?
Sort of a gentler way. He wouldn't try to scare you into it too much. A little bit, but not too much. This one, he says, you might wake up one day and find out where you were. Bad news. I had one boy in my class. He handed in a paper and he said, my answer to life. And the whole thing was that, it's kind of standard testimony. When I asked Jesus Christ in my life, it changed my whole personality. Well, not his personality, his whole life.
And he listed the things that had helped him with his parents and girls. And frustrations when he couldn't be number one, you know, best at what he was doing. And, you know, this kind of. And he got, he didn't like O'Connor at all. She says if she's gonna talk about religion, she shouldn't make out the religious characters to be murderers and whiskey runners. If you're gonna talk about God, y'all talk about God, not talk about insanity or violence.
Yeah, the point. At least so consistent. Maybe one of those stories.
At least you could talk about the Catholics, our own religion.
Yeah, that's what somebody said. I looked at that little passage off the woman at the store. Now this is way towards the end, and he is going home back to the old headquarters, and he has ridden. I don't know why he should ride with such stupid people. this man with an automobile truck, hauls automobiles. He was empty and asleep, you see. And he picked young Tarvada up to get him to talk, and young Tarvada couldn't talk. So he pulls off of the side road and sleeps. Now this is, and then he finally puts him out because he won't talk. There was a patched together store and filling station on the far side of the crossroad. He'd been walking some time. He hastened on in anticipation of the drink he was going to buy, his thirst growing by the second. But this is not a human thirst he has, you see. There, as he came closer, he saw the large woman who stood in the door of the place. Now, you watch this large woman. She won't be a woman very long with Flannery O'Connor. His thirst increased, but his enthusiasm fled. You see, you're already away from the reality, commonplace part of it. She was leaning against the frame, her arms folded, and she almost filled the whole entrance. I see she ceased to be a woman long ago. Well, since before, she was a black-eyed woman with a granite-like face and a tongue persistent to question. He and his great uncle had traded at this place on occasion, and when the woman was there, the old man had liked to linger and discourse. Talk, discourse. For he found her as pleasant as a shade tree. The boy had always stood by impatiently, kicking up the gravel, his face dark with boredom. While the old talked. Now she spotted him across the highway, and although she did not move or raise her hand, he could feel her eyes reeling him in. You see, she can't leave people alone, can she? Flannery O'Connor. She's got I don't know what I call intellectualizing. He crossed the highway and was drawn forward, scowling at a neutral space between her chin and shoulder. After he had arrived and stopped, she did not speak, but only looked at him, and he was obligated to direct a glance toward upward at her eyes. They were fixed on him with a black penetration. There was all knowledge in her stony face, and the fold of her arms indicated a judgment fixed from the foundations of time. And she never was a woman. Huge wings might have been folded beneath her without seeming strange. "The niggers told me how you done," she said. "It seems the dead. The boy pulled himself together to speak. He is conscious that no sass would do, that he was called upon by some force outside them both, to answer for his freedom and make bold his acts. A tremor went through him. His soul plunged deep within itself to hear the voice of his mentor at its most profound depths. He tried to hear Old Tarwater. He opened his mouth to overwhelm the woman, and to his horror, what rushed from his lips, like a streak of a bat. You see, you never have anything really mental coming out of any of these characters, was an obscenity that he had overheard once or fair. Shocked, he saw the moment lost. Now the woman did not move a muscle. Presently she said, "And now you come back. And who is going to hire out a boy who burned down houses?" Still aghast at his failure, he said in the shaky voice, "I ain't asked nobody to hire me out." And shame's the dead. "The dead are dead and stay that way," he said, gaining a little strength. "And scorns the resurrection light." And there you see that when they didn't talk, they did discourse on the resurrection of the light. That's Old Tarwater. His thirst was a rough hand clenched in his throat. See, it's not a real thirst. "Sell me a purple drink," he said hoarsely. The woman did not move. He turned and went, his look as dark as hers. There were circles under his eyes, and his skin seemed to have shrunk on the frame of his bones from dryness. The obscenity echoed sullenly in his head. The boy's mind was too fierce to entertain impurities of such a nature. He was intolerant of unspiritual evils, and with those of the flesh he had never chuckled. You see, he was intolerant of unspiritual evils. Now that means he's austere like Old Tarwater. But you don't see the experience. Now I can reason it out, but it's not in the story. One of my great pleasures has been to get off in the woods, way back, away from civilized places. And you have that feeling, you see, that the world way out yonder, and irrational and sinful, and there's nothing to be done about it. And it puts you on a little island. And I think people live that way by and large. When I was up on the North 40, as we call it, up at Latchway, that was one of my pleasures to go up there. It had a little rise in it. And I built a shed up there, and we had this little trailer up there at the time. Part of the time. And you could kind of look out over the countryside, and I could see my neighbors, and sort of, I never saw much of them, but I knew kind of what they were doing. You know, I could see old Harlow reach over and try a shoestring. Feeling for what everybody's doing without ever being there, really, not ever being there. There's not, in this sort of thing, now like Ms. Guthrie over there, there's really not much mixing. It's, and there's something in it that keeps keeps you from it. Now, you see, they can adjust a little scripture, you see, goes a long ways with them. I talked to Mr. Boyd over here, and he used to listen to, he was sinful. Coleman said, you know, he was, even Coleman opens up on him. He's hard on them boys, he's hard on everybody. And he did moonshining and bootlegging. And Roberts tells about he burned up a house over here. And he was moonshining, cooking the whiskey in the house upstairs. Said that was, and then all of his alcohol burned. Roberts said that was the hottest fire I ever saw for just an old frame house. He said it melted the metal in the glass. Just melted it. It was so hot. Well, somewhere along the line, he listened to some radio sermons. He didn't go to church, Mr. Boyd. And I wished I sat over there with a tape in the car one night, and he talked solid for 3/4 hour. And it was all something that didn't exist. And I didn't keep the tape. And I always do the wrong thing. I mean, you have to keep tapes, just keep them. And it was a kind of an austere, it was his wife died. And then he was almost blind when that happened. And he just had a few little texts, and he used them. And he could look at people with stills out there in those little prairie swamps. He could sort of stand apart from his own way of life. And he is austere. He showed me his medicine cabinet one time. And that was, he had taken on some new, what's this stuff I don't like to smell, say?
Clorox.
He'd taken on Clorox. And, or is that what it was? And turpentine, that's like Mr. Weaver, banks on turpentine. And kerosene.
Kerosene.
And their medicine cabinet, see, they survive somehow on just a few of those things. Now, she doesn't put that in. She doesn't, see, she don't let you take hold. Of course, she's dying when she wrote it. You can't be too, she just race against time. She puts in, and those little stories, those early stories, she puts in a little experience. But it's shameful you don't get taught about her with just, you know, with his feet on the ground just a little bit. Yeah, I can feel for her. You didn't see Cookie?
You saw Cookie yesterday.
I saw him yesterday.
I haven't seen him.
He's so funny. He said, let me think. He's got that green truck now, I think. And he's going to sell that, and he's going to buy two more.
And he's going to sell the green truck?
Yeah, he says. And he's going to buy two more. Tonight, last night, he was going to do that. He traded for a plow. He said, but not where God told me to go.
Say it for a plow, but not where he got to. Well,
he got sources, you know.
And, let's see.
Well, that's
he said he's going to get up to help put that coastal burrito in if he could ever pin you down.
Pin you down.
What do you mean with that?
know. Guess they meant fix out at a specific time to. He said somebody had offered him $1,000 for that Cadillac. And Ann was there, so he told him what all he'd done with the Cadillac.
He got who was that?
Ann. We were walking up to McDonald's. And he told her he got it for $25, and with the tires and all the work he'd done on it, he just had about $200 in it. And then a man offered him $1,000 for it. I said, "Are you going to sell it?" He said, "Sure. You give me the cash, I'll give him the car."
You mean he's not going to take it to Reno? And
well, he didn't mention that. He just said somebody offered him $1,000 for it.
You didn't hear the long story about that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's one of a kind. That's at El Dorado. And out there, where the demand is, the demand for it, you get $5,000 for one of them. And I said, "How you gonna let Clyde take it for you?" He said, "No." He said, "I'm gonna take it myself." And that's he was counting on that. It's pretty, isn't it?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Only two in the state of Florida.
Well, let me tell you, I called the man last night, Jim. I was going to call Cookie, and I thought, well, I better find out if the Coastal is there. Cookie has a hard time, you know, staying on something until he works it out. If you come around there and trade with him, he'll do that. But something like this, I've never seen him work it out. I've never seen him work anything out.
He can't even get the man on the telephone.
He didn't. He had a hard time. Then the first time I called him, I got him. he could have had trouble. They are probably on a party line. And I asked the man last night, I said, if a fella came out there and wanted to get some of those coastal roots, how much trouble would it be? Well, he says, no great trouble, except I'd have to be digging. And he didn't explain what it was to be digging. Well, I said, you couldn't just light in and fill up a little truck? Well, he said, I couldn't now. The equipment's over the latchway. But he says, you call me, or I'll call you sometime when I'm digging. And you can come over and get some. Well, I said, that's a good idea. And I knew that left me out. Because whenever he's digging, I may be busy. Or if I'm not busy, I won't have any help. So unless I can go over there and see when I'm on my terms, so to speak. Now, what I figured, Jim, what I figured was that you see, Cookie won't always tell you what's in his mind. I figured that he had talked to this man, and he had seen that you wasn't going to get in the Coastal out of him. And he was just letting me find it out. But he wasn't going to wear himself out trying to arrange anything. I called him that afternoon, you see, and I said, I told you after you came, I said to him, if you all are sort of tied up yourself, maybe old Alvin will, and he and his boys can haul a little bit in the morning. He said, he probably can. He said, I'll call him. I said, how am I going to find out? Just find out. He said, you can call me back. Well, I didn't call him back. But certainly he didn't call him. So that's what I'm saying. But I tell you what, we had to run around so much, you know, and doing little jobs. Our job's not quite big enough.
I keep thinking, surely there's somebody else that has postal. But probably.
None of these Sunshine Stud and Race for any? East Coastal?
They don't even have a hair. I don't know what they have.
I thought y'all were talking about you could like get it from a feed store or a nursery or something. You know, they just kept it, but you had to plant it the same day. And realize you had to get it from a man who's already growing it.
Yeah, dig it out. Yeah, so you can wait till the summer, you know, when the grass is growing and plant it, cut it while it's tender. What, you know, makes hay. But it still has a life in it, sprout.
Then just throw it around. Mm-hmm.
But now, Cookie said he had a plow.
Yeah, so he's got a plow.
But he means he
is. He said he traded for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
He asked me how much of that area out there Gemini wanted to plow. I don't know why he asked. He said that he's going to plow a pretty good area down by the trailer to plant.
Yeah.
He never went on with that.
Yeah, he's talking about putting in some rest work on it.
Well, now that's get lined up with him on the plow then.
by the time do all that, then
get out there with a shovel.
That's why I used to put in a garden, just with a spade. Just turn it with a spade, you know, what you want to plant. Just go on down, just turn it with a spade. That's after it was, the grass was turned on.
Well, Cookie's not going to have any horses to plow with. They're going to be over at Brooker. They step over that fence.
Now they don't touch that fence, but it seems you noticed it down there.
It might be just the way their combined personalities.
You can't drop a straw out there, they'll reach over and get it, you see, and you're just afraid the fence will go with them. Well, I'd better go out and get horses out of the ride and give them a little grass.
Jim and Suzanne were talking about, in addition to the garden, a few priorities around here.
What was that?
Well, Suzanne and I were talking about it, a few priorities around here. We let Cookie take care of the fence. How many more of those trees down there need, that whole line need to be poisoned?
Mm-hmm.
You got the stuff.
Just girdle them. Yesterday I stopped by Mac Weaver's to find out how to get a hold of old Jack here. And the little boy, Frank, came up. He just tight, you know, 3 year old, cute, this cutest pie. And he was all over it. And they had been cutting wood out there. He'd been happening. And he brought up the axe and he's gonna cut it himself. And Mr. Weaver says, "You just lean that axe up there." And I looked out, and you know what it was? It was my old axe. I had left that old axe and the old clippers over there. He gave me the clippers.
Guy? I'd be afraid to go in. That's what Mr. Weaver's, but I'd be afraid to go in Cookie's trailer. It used to worry Nick. Oh, his sense of honest and dishonest, you know, is very black and white. And it would just worry him if the least little thing was missing around. He just knew it was in Cookie's trailer. Not that Cookie stole it. He just took it down and forgot to bring it.
Didn't bother to. I jumped Frank one time. I looked around here for the longest time for a postal day. And he'd taken it down there and not brought it back. And I really jumped him.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
Oh, yes. And Cookie flinched whenever he thought about that. He practically bought me a new postal day. And since then, they've taken particular pains to bring stuff back.
Yeah, that hackamore that I asked for, you know, they had it.
I let the Cookie have a tape recorder and play his Christmas tape, singing tape on. Now that'll be a month, and he won't bring that back. He has to go get it.
And that's one of your good ones.
Now I tell you what, it's tedious living in the world the way it is. There's so much to do, and if you borrow something, it's a bad devil to get it back. It is.
Gosh, I know I've got a book that belongs to Mary Robertson. It's a prize book. I've had it a year.
Yes. Jim, go put your vegetables in.
With what?
We just going to plant that squash today.
Oh, yeah.
And cucumbers.
Yeah.
I tell you what. I bet you Jim and Suzanne can get Cookie and that plow over here one of these days. See, they can do it.
See? Why don't you just let Ron up alone? Just let him alone. Let him go out there and put him in the way he
just ready to get kicked.
Don't beg him on. He can use anything he wants to use, just so he don't ask me. You see, I quit long ago trying to raise vegetables. I raise them to see they got in the countryside. And I get in it. Oh, do I get in it? But see, that's not your purpose. You want vegetables. And we ought to have a few vegetables around here. And once you get some started, it'd be simple. It's shameful not to have a few. Now, all that little lettuce stuff or beets and pinochles you're going to grow, I think that's fruit. I think that's useless. But you take something like a tomato vine, a half a dozen tomato vines would keep this whole neighborhood in tomatoes.
And sweet potatoes. Yeah.
No, Faye, I'm not tomatoes. Talking about sweet potatoes. I'm talking about tomatoes.
Okay.
And squash.
Yeah, that's what it's
One squash vine is just like tomato vine. It'll just keep bearing. And eggplant same way. Now, you plant your own garden, Faye. You had your own little vegetables.
You had vegetables. Let me tell you.
You know, there's a whole lot to this. And you see, you've got more enthusiasm than you've got endurance yourself.
Not Jim. You should
see the colors. Let me tell you, I found out from Mr. Weaver that these little pepper plants, these little hot pepper plants, he's got them over there. He's got a dozen of those little pepper plants over there that are 11 years old. Just like an orange tree. And, you know, I never thought of that. I don't know what in the world happened to me. You know, we talked about that. Well, these pokeberries that I grow around here that you go around and cut down, they are getting a little age on them. And it makes a big difference, you see. The frost knocks them down, but as soon as...
Mr. Weaver knows all those pepper plants by name, practically, doesn't he?
Well, if you want to make it airtight, yeah.
That
looks like it. No. You can carry them with you.
What, pepper plants?
Sure.
Yeah.
You get them growing out here, yeah, too, and you move, take one with you, take them with you.
Only trouble with peppers, I never grew any that weren't too hot to eat.
Oh, these are hot.
Yeah. We had some in Cocoa for years and years.
Oh, did you? Oh, you've done that.
They're too hot. We couldn't eat them. We couldn't anyway. My dad took some over the base. It was a Greek over there who liked peppers. And he'd all the time bring over there and showing off how he could eat them. So Dad took him some of these over there. Gave him some of these hot ones. And he came back next day and he asked him how he liked them. He says, oh, it was good. I don't know. We never could eat them. You can put them in your mouth and couldn't even burn a dick. Like Mexican pepper.
Yeah. Same thing, I guess.
So we'd bottle them up. The only we ever used them before was put them in vinegar when they were still green.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For relish.
You've done gardens, haven't you, Jim?
Yeah. Just a little bit. My uncle does a lot of gardens. He has about acres, you know, 1 or 2 acres of garden.
Well, now you see, from my point of view, I'd go down there and just listen to him talk about it. But now, you see, green beans, how many meshes can you pick off of green beans?
I don't know. You can get quite a few. You can have 2 or 3 rows. Well, it depends. You can plant them, you know, like a row. Every 3 or 4 weeks you can plant a row or something like that.
But you got to keep planting them.
Yeah.
You can't do them like you can squash. Just keep...
yeah, they just...
Moving the same
kind. They just blossom once.
Well, you know, I never thought of that when I was growing up, but and I guess anybody got to have green beans, string beans, what is it called? You just like rosemary. You just gotta put in a row at a time, so to speak.
Just like what?
Corn. Roasting ears.
Oh.
Roasting ears, what do you call it?
Roasting ears.
No.
I've never heard me understand what you said before. One thing my family was ever planted was strawberries, and they were there when we moved in, so they just stayed there.
Now, you know, one thing, Jim, you got to figure, in your business, you're not actually interested in cures. You're interested in how people handle carrots. And, you see, that's what you'd be paid for, isn't it? You heard me. like you don't need to plant them yourself. You just go along with the people who plant them, and then go down and get a mess out of them. And see, your proper attitude, you see, professional, would be just to go along with Cookie and let him put them in. Or you could help him a little bit and see how they do it. Huh?
Yeah, as a professional, far in
yes,
your field.
In your field.
Mm-hmm. If you were doing it
yes.
professionally.
Of course, some think it would be much simpler just to put them in.
That's sort of hard on Jim. If that in his profession, he has to do it all himself.
You know, Mr. Nealon does that forestry, and... he saw long ago, you see, that they put, that the forester people didn't know anything about forest trees, and it's the reason they put in so many pines. So he, every time he got a chance, you know, he'd lambast them, but he finally got him a little place out there. The university gave him a place, and he uses it, and he has his plantings, his plantations of hardwoods. And he finds that a lot more satisfactory than dealing with the foresters. You haven't talked to him much.
I don't even know who he is.
Yes. Uh, he's a bird. I asked him where he got interested in his wildlife. He said when he had grown up out west, they'd rob the bird's nest, collect eggs. Some way of getting interested in it. Just do it in a big way. It's hot in here, Faith.
Yep, go. Gotta go plant a garden.
If we wanted to girdle those trees, is your axe holding up any better than it was?
No.
You should have brought that one.
You'd have to use Mr. Weaver's gold bar, Mr. Weaver.
Borrow your axe back.
Jim got a hold of a broad axe. Is that what you call that one? Yeah. Funny shape? Got them at an antique store. Funny. I brought your tape recorder back.
If I had a... Just leave that on. It's hot in here. If I had a... knew anywhere to get an axe handle, I'd get it.
You can get them. Just get them out the hardware store.
Just like this one. Oh, what good does that do?
Jim put one in last night.
I put one in my axe.
Like this one?
No, it's a double blade axe.
Well, why don't you bring it?
Oh, I plan on cutting any trees.
Well, don't cut them. Go ahead and put your carrots in. Or whatever you want to put in. That's the end of Channel One Right, the end of Channel One Right, and the end of this little visit with Suzanne Jim. They came to check out, as Faye said, as Suzanne said, this Saturday morning, the 13th of February, 1971. This Saturday morning, the 13th of February, 1971, and the weather changing again. A front started in last night, or during the night, and it rained nearly a half an inch. That's the end of this visit with Jim and Suzanne this Saturday morning at the kitchen table, the 13th of February, 1971.